Love.
Truth. Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Taking a lot of crap with a lot of my chat rooms, and
and I'm just kind of exhausted from it. So I really don't hardly open up any chat rooms until a little bit later I get a moderator or something. But we're going to take a quick, real quick break, and we'll be back with our guest. We'll be back.
Hey, everybody out there. This is Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone. Join me on November 20th, 2010 at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as we welcome to the show Bob Chapman from the International Forecasters as we talk about the soon coming economic crash and the currency that will be one day worth zero. Please pray for America and join us that night as we will talk about these things and much more. Stay informed.
All right, we're back. DJ, you there?
I'm here, brother.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Hey, man. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks. Hey, thanks for the intro. I appreciate it. But most of all, man, I'm honored. It's an honor. I appreciate the invite, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's awesome to have you on, man. I'm looking for brothers, and, you know, or even in different states that we can fellowship and be able to share.
Absolutely.
And edify our sharp desire. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely, man.
Yes, yes, indeed. Let's start off. I've been listening to some of your shows, and you had one show where you were talking about worshiping pastors. Iterate on that myself. Back in the day, when I was, you know, growing up in my house, my mom's house, my mom and dad's house, we used to attend a church, and I won't mention the name, but we had a pastor there that was a good pastor. I really do respect him. But after a while, as I got older and I left that church, my mom used to talk about a lot of things that they used to do for the pastors, which
right.
was a little overboard. Let's part there. Let's talk about that and then we'll move on from there.
The topic actually, one of the visitors to the website actually brought the topic up to me, and so when I looked it over and I prayed on it and meditated on it for a while, and just had a chance to just reach out to a couple of buddies of mine and say, hey, let's do this show, right? So we decided to go for it and do the show of just basically about people who go far and beyond, you know.
Yeah.
And it sort of opened up a really good debate or a discussion, because some people, you know, they don't see anything wrong with going to the pastor house, cutting his grass, you know, picking up his kids, bringing his kids to church, and in some cases even going to his house and putting his shoes on his feet, you know.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so as we begin to, you know, open this show up, there were things that I learned that I didn't even know people were actually doing some of these things. You know what I mean? It was just crazy, man. It just made me say, okay, I can understand, you know, people loving their pastor and wanting to do things for a pastor. But I think you're walking on a very fine line in between appreciating him and worshiping him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why we wanted to do the show, because are you worshiping him as, or have you created a God? Have you created a Jesus Jr. in your appreciation for him? And
yeah.
You know, and that's why we did the show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's running rapid throughout the church, throughout America, greatly. And the Bible tells us that we should have a certain esteem for the pastor, but how much steam do you go? I mean,
right. You know, and I have a guy, you know, I have a couple people that helped me out with this show, man. And, you know, I can't, you know, I've been really blessed that God has, you know, really surrounded me around good people. There's Pastor Tavares Robertson. There's Near Truth. And, you know, another good brother, Dr. Neil. And so what it allows me to do to look at these things from different perspectives. Because I tell people all the time, I'm not a pastor, you know. But I do put a lot of commentary on as it relates to what's going on in our churches, you know. And one of the things that concerns me is, you know, these pastors that are mandating that their members do these things, you know.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's actually the members who are competing. They're competing amongst each other for the affection and, you know, the acknowledgement from their pastor. And then there's this, you know, then there's this another group of pastors who just basically want everybody to serve them, you know.
Yeah.
That's the guy we know. That's the guy, you know, if there's somebody that we target, for lack of a better word, that's the guy that we highlight, this narcissistic personality disorder that feels that people should worship him. Because there are some pastors out there, you know, and it's not all of them. It's not all of them, brother. But there is this small group that some kind of way, you know, we have a little inside joke. We refer to him as the pastor thereof, you know, and that's our little inside joke, you know. But there are these pastors thereof that feel that people should do these things for them because, you know, they've been anointed the pastor.
As far as that power is wielded from worshiping the pastor, what do you see in the church world as far as the flock, fleecing the flock, or so you say? What is the normal trend?
We refer to it as a fleecing. You know, you use the perfect word. It in a lot of cases, it is a fleecing because, you know, we had this debate. Me and Pastor Robinson, we had this debate. You know, I don't blame the members. You know, there are some people on the panel, as you can hear, that you know you were able to check out from the show. They were actually blaming the members. You know, but the members, you know, we just love God. You know what I'm saying? We just the members. Yes, they're supposed to read the scriptures for themselves, and yes, they're supposed to, you know, be able to discern. But I think a lot of people, man, they just want to hear something from God, and they just want a real human being who just happens to be a pastor to teach the word of God. And somewhere in between there, Brother Phil, somewhere in that, you know, sequence, it gets crazy. It gets crazy, man. And that's why, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I didn't create me, okay? I didn't create me, you know, out of control, corrupt, embezzling, molesting, you know, undisciplined preachers created me.
Yeah.
And from that, you know, people like me say, you know what? Enough is enough. You know, it's enough. You know, it's some kind of way, you know, we have to back away from this direction, whereas nobody says anything, nobody questions anything. You know, blindly we just go along, and then the next thing you know, we're locked up in a compound in a little town called Waco with a guy named David Koresh wondering how we got here.
Yeah.
You know, you see what I'm saying? It starts off very subtle. It starts off as just a normal church, and then it turns into something weird.
Yes. And also they slip in, a lot of times these preachers slip in little bits and pieces of error and start to brainwash. And let's talk about that mind control that you guys have touched on.
Oh man, we're on that heavy. We're on these mind control.
Yeah, manipulate.
Big time, you know. Big time. We actually titled the show GPS. You know, the giving pastors special services. You know, and the whole analogy, right, that connected this together was just like the GPS in your car. You know, when everything is working fine, it takes you where you want to go. You know, when everything is going according to plan, you start from one point and you eventually arrive at a destination. But there are times when things, you know, go crazy because, you know, just like no technology is perfect, there are no perfect people. There are no perfect people. And so sometimes there are these guys, not all the time, but sometimes, there are these guys who take people on, you know, service roads versus the highways, and it leads them into areas that they didn't intend it to go. And this is what we mean by this spiritual mind control, using scriptures to justify their own agenda, okay?
Yeah.
And so in my position, I come under a lot of attack and criticisms, and there are people like, you just hate preachers, and you just attack the man of God, and all you do is on your ugly website and just tear down the man of God. And I'm like, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. But somebody has to speak up for the people in the pews. Somebody got to say something about the people who sit in the pews, because, you know, whenever you begin to say, okay, this preacher is preaching something that is not rooted in the Word of God, someone is always going to attack the person who's saying that. And the guy who's preaching the cartoon gospel is sort of let off the hook.
Yeah.
He's sort of let off the hook, you know? And, you know, that's why we do what we do. But the spiritual mind control is something that we're noticing through spiritual mind control. You're having a bunch of sub-doctrines that are popping up all over the country.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, you used to have Baptists, you used to have Methodists, you used to have Pentecostal, you used to have Catholic, okay? Now, there's about 300 little subgroups that are spawning. They're spawning from the big six, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason they're spawning is because you have a lot of different preachers who consider themselves non-denomination, which is actually a denomination. They're breaking off, they're isolating their groups, and they're creating something else, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the control starts.
We're going to take a call. Yeah, I know I said we're going to take a call, but we're going to take a couple calls. Hold on for a second.
Not a problem, brother.
Okay. Hey, caller? Caller? Hello? Okay. Let me take the next call. Caller? Is there a caller? All right. Well, both of them. I got two phone calls and nobody answered anything.
Hey, man, I have everything imaginable happen on my show, man. I'm telling you. I've had everything from the switchboard just cut off to the phones. You know, they just dropped the call in the middle of the show. So, brother, I you know, look, I'm in this with you tonight.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the small. Now, is this a product of the small church, or is it a product of any church, whether it's small, medium, or mega, or does it mostly happen in a mega church?
Are you referring to the mind control?
Yeah, mind control. Yeah, all that.
You know, I think in my own personal opinion, it happens across the board. But what I'm finding from my work with PimpPreacher.com is the smaller churches is where we're finding the strongest hold on their members, you know.
Yeah.
This, you know, when you get into large congregations like Bishop T.D. Jakes and, you know, and Eddie Long, they don't really know all of these people. You know,
yeah, they
may interact with a group of them, but they don't know them. But when you get into these smaller churches, those relationships are more personal. So that pastor has more of a stronger influence over those members. And that's when we begin to hear stories like the pastor is trying to control what's going on inside of the members' homes. He's telling the wife what to do with the husband, telling the husband what to do with his money, telling them how to raise kids, and or you are with the wrong man.
Yeah.
You know? And Deacon so-and-so actually make a better husband for you than the guy you're married to. Yeah, and so we see that in the smaller churches, you know.
Yeah.
But the smaller guys, okay, the smaller guys are telling their members, hey, you don't want to be in one of these big old mega churches because they don't even know you. See, I know all of my members. I know your names. I christen your babies. You don't want to be in these big mega ministries. And what happens, it creates this fear, this up against them, you know, type of deal. And that's all a part of the mind control, you know.
Yeah.
It's controlling them out of fear. It's making them feel that if they leave this little group or this bigger group, they're going to be lost spiritually. It's finding about four or five scriptures, right, to keep those members locked into these places. And, you know, we've been on it all week, and we're going to stay on it. You know, we're coming back to it again tomorrow. Mainly because I keep running out of time, you know, and right when I think, you know, the show is getting good, you know, my producer, Nell, here comes the music, let me know it's time to shut it down, and I'm like, well, we were just about to get to it, you know, but we're coming back to it again tomorrow because there's more examples of mind control, you know. We told the story about the preacher that has deacons waiting outside of his bathroom while he takes a shower.
Whoa, you know? Man. Yeah.
I mean, I could not make this stuff up because my imagination is really not that vast to create it on my own. These are stories that came in and they were passed on to me, and I'm like, wow, are you serious?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you serious? The wife is complaining because the man is spending more time with the preacher than he is with the family.
Yeah, and that's a shame. Yeah.
But they call that the adjutant, the adjutant, the armor bearer. The armor bearer, adjutant, ushers, you know, all of these positions ideally are okay. The only problem becomes when these positions becomes personal servants. That's why I sort of have an issue with it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what's the cultic atmosphere? What do you see driving these pastors who are being worshipped? Are they being worshipped into a cult? I mean, no, what I mean by that is the longer I'll say it this way. Normally, when a cult is started, you said earlier that it started with a little bit of, just a teeny bit of error, and it turns out to be a cult. Now, for pastors to be worshipped, what do you see? Is there a trend towards a cult? I don't even know how to even ask this question.
Right.
Just talk about the are you in the cult? Is your church a cult? Just talk a little bit.
Yeah,
about that.
You know, it's the piece that we did. You know, minister or sinister. I don't know if your church is becoming a cult. And a lot of people, you know, have asked me, why are you on this cult thing? Why are you stuck on this cult thing? And I tell them because I was in a cult. Once you've been in a cult and you're delivered from one, you know, you want to make people aware of signs of it, okay? Any type of organization that can make a man stand on a corner in 101 degrees in a suit holding up a magazine in a bean pie, that's a very powerful cult.
Yeah.
Okay? I come from that. So to come from that to Christianity, this is a very sensitive thing to me, because when I was involved in a cult, all I wanted to do was to impress the cult leader. You know, I wanted him to like me. I wanted him to acknowledge me. When he was up on the podium, I wanted him to say my name through the microphone. You know, yeah, Brother T, you know, he really did a good job. He sold, you know, 50 magazines this week. You know, that's a good brother. Y'all need to be more like Brother TX. You know, that's a good brother. That's what I wanted. Well, when the same thing that happens in groups, in Islamic groups, and groups like the Nation of Islam, well, guess what? These things happen in regular churches. Sure, they may not have people standing outside selling magazines, right? But what happens is the same type of recruitment, the same type of pull, whereas the group comes together, to bring in the new person. And when they bring in a new person, there's this indoctrinating where they want to make them feel that we are a family. We're bringing you into the family, and we're going to take care of you. And if you need anything, the family is here for you. And oh, by the way, the man of God, the one who sits as our shepherd, he is so brilliant. He is so awesome. He's going to help you get your life together. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
And it's just like the old propaganda thing, you know. If something is said so many times, you begin to believe it. And the next thing you know, you're embedded. And once you're in the middle of this thing, you are now officially in the cult, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the ways you know you're in the cult is because you think as a group. You no longer think individually. Not what I'm going to do, not what my family is going to do, is what we're going to do as a church, what the church is doing and where the church is going. And you're finding yourself at the church 5 nights out of the week. You're finding yourself giving excessively 5 and 6 offerings per week. You know, far and beyond, you know. You're constantly getting beat over the head with a word called the tide, okay?
Yeah.
And yeah, well, okay, well, I don't want to talk about that one. But that is another tool, okay? That is another tool. And we take on that on the show, because there is a thing called tide abuse. And that's all a part of it.
I was right there, too, on your page. I was just going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abuse of the tithe. We want you to give a tithe. We want you to give to the bishop offering. We want you to give to the first lady. Give her a love offering. And oh, don't forget, the bishop anniversary is coming up. And once you give the bishop anniversary, then we have a building fund. We're going to build a family life center. Okay?
Yeah.
And so what we try to do is to tell people that all of these little bitty different things have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with Christ. Because if we call ourselves Christians, then something about us should resemble Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, minister or sinister, it really gets into who are you worshiping?
Yeah.
Are you in this for Christ, or are you in this for the so-called man of God? Because no one should be in between that relationship, in between you and Christ. I don't care what people tell you. You can go directly to God for yourself.
Yeah. That's completely opposite of what Jesus said. He said, he who wants to be greatest needs to be least. Who wants to be greatest needs to be a servant. And it's completely opposite, because what these prosperity teachers are teaching and what a lot of these people in the faith movement want is what God can do for them. And when I was involved in the faith movement church, and they would actually try to command God and tell God what he was supposed to do. You know, and God is not a God where he is subject to your commands. Now, if like, for instance, through prophecy, if God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Or through, you know, if he says he's going to take care of you, he's going to take care of you and everything else. But a lot of these churches, the church that I attend, was saying, you better tell God, he better do this, you know. And I'm like, dude, man, God don't have to do
that. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I think sometimes, man, you know, crazy to run out of style, man. But sometimes certain things, you gotta say, that's crazy. That's crazy. And God, I know this is going to sound foreign to a lot of people, man, and this is going to sound crazy, what I'm about to say. God doesn't need your money.
Yeah.
God, let me say it again, man. God is not broke. Regardless of what some preacher has told you, God hasn't filed bankruptcy. God didn't get a federal bailout. He wasn't involved in the situation with AIG. God, it still is wealthy. He does not need your money. And this is the theme of us. The reason why we exist is because of Deuteronomy 12 and 17. Consume the tithe in front of me. Consume the tithe in front of me. And this is the thing that's not being preached, Brother Phil. If I wish to God somebody would really preach tithes as it really is supposed, as it was intended to be. Tithe was to be consumed in front of God.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't for the pastor to get a jet. It wasn't for Creflo to get a 2 Rolls Royces. It wasn't for Bishop Eddie Long to have $100,000 worth of jewelry. It wasn't for T.D. Jakes to go around and franchise the Potter House across the country. It was to be consumed in front of God. And what that means is, if we're going to bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, so there may be meat, so that there may be meat. People eat the meat. We eat meat. We consume meat. During the time that this was spoken, there wasn't no refrigeration. So if they're bringing all of this meat into the storehouse, you mean to tell me that was just for one person? Come on. The tithe was for a feast. It was for a festival. It was for everything to come together and let's celebrate God. That means that everybody that brings in something, there is something there for you. Now, what we witness with church today is we bring all of the tithes into the house, and the pastor takes the tithe to his gated community.
Yeah.
That's Christ? What does that have to do with Jesus? And, you know, and so when we start talking about radical things, man, like a church folk revolution, right, it's a mental revolution, man. It's our minds. Somewhere in our minds, we have to break out of this hypnotic spell that we're in where someone can say, money coming to me now. And we all run up there and bring him some money.
Yeah.
Is it just me, bro? Is it just me?
It's just you. Amen.
That jam makes me feel better. It makes me feel better knowing that it's not just me.
Yeah.
And,
I had a guy
email me just last night, and I wish Rennell could bring up this actual email from last night. Okay. The email was from a guy from Creflo Dollar's church. I think it was Creflo, but he said it was from his church, okay?
Yeah.
He sends me this email calling me demonic, right? And the reason I am demonic is because I am telling people that they're not supposed to tithe, all right?
Yeah.
He says that's a demonic spirit that...
Yeah.
You're telling people that they're not supposed to pay tithe, and our pastor, sure, our pastor is wealthy, but our pastor sells books, and from his book, you know, he does other things. You know, he has other businesses that he owns, and that's the reason why he's so wealthy, right?
Yes.
So I reply back to the guy, and I say, you know what's demonic? Demonic is requiring that some average working person give me 10%, and I already have $28 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's demonic. you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my question was to him, why does your pastor have so much money? He replies back to me, because my pastor does this, and my pastor does that, and my pastor has books, and you know. And I reply back to him, you miss my point. Why does your Christian pastor have so much money? Because if he was anything like Christ, he would be giving some of that money away.
A lot of it.
You see what I'm saying? What's demonic is to take in all of this money from people and don't give any of it away. Yeah, you have your little pet programs. You know, you have your one or two or three little pet programs, okay? But if you have $28 million, that's enough money to take 12 deacons and give each one of those deacons $100,000 and tell each one of those deacons, I want you to give away this $100,000 within 2 hours and meet me back here.
Yeah.
That's the Christian, that's Christ-like. You follow what I'm saying? That's like, wow.
What did you think about Creflo Dollar's statement about the machine gun taking people who don't pay tithes?
It didn't surprise me, you know. And yeah, brother, I've been following Creflo. I didn't just start following. I've been following Creflo since Creflo had a little bitty church on, and he was on the C broadcast only. You know what I'm saying? I've been following this dude for a long time. I watched him preach the anointing. It's the anointing going to destroy the yoke from 1996 to 2004. He preached one message all the way through. And he used the anointing, right? And he transformed the anointing into tithes. And through paying your tithes, it brings you into an area where you're going to receive the anointing of God. And that anointing is going to destroy the yoke. I mean, I watched this dude put this together. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, man, that's pretty good. even though it's not rooted, even though it's scripturally, hermeneutically incorrect, right? That's pretty good how you connected all of that. And, you know, that's why his statement did not surprise me, because anytime you have a preacher that is so obsessed with people paying tithes, that is a sign that you're being controlled. If your church is constantly preaching, listen to me, people, if your pastor every third Sunday is a tithe message, is a message about paying tithes, you are being controlled. Now, you can get mad with me all you want to, but I know preachers, okay? And they have bills. And they have their top five sermons that's going to help them collect money. And one of the main ones is, as a man robbed God. So you can go to the third book of Micah and just get all of the good tithe message. You need a good tithe message? Yeah, just go to the third chapter of Malachi. And if you preach it right, you'll really begin to make people feel, you know, compelled, and make them feel guilty, and make them feel like they are robbing God. And maybe this is why my life is not going according to plan. And maybe this is why I'm not blessed, and I don't have a new car, and I don't have a job, and I don't have a wife, if you preach it the right way. And they all have mastered, brother, they have mastered the art of guilt. And they know, but trust me on this, they know what messages to preach in order to get the members to give. So when Creflo Dollar gets on TV and say, you know, I hate tithe, I hate people who don't pay tithe. If your pastor is constantly preaching that, find you another church.
Find
another church.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Not a problem, brother.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Okay, that's too many commercials. I like to take a break once in a while so we can get our thoughts together and stuff. We are having an awesome interview with Brother TJ from Church Folk Evolution. I'm so happy to have him on the show. I should have squad just brought him back on. Okay.
Thank you.
I wasn't married then, but when I was in Oklahoma, I was in Fort Steele, stationed in Fort Steele, and we had a church there. And the pastor, it was a small church, about what, the most? We had like 50 people, but on a given Sunday, it can go up to 100. But anyway, I thought it was kind of weird because the pastor kept talking about finance. He'd do it over and over again. And even the assistant pastors would talk about paying tithes. And I literally considered being hit upside the head a few times. And it turns out that this pastor was taking the money from the congregation. The Holy Spirit, something was bugging me before I found out that this pastor, because this is a big organization, this church is all over the place. All over
right.
The United States. And what happened was all the pastors decided to steal money from the church that they were pastoring and start their own own organization. And it's kind of like the devil taking one third of the angels with them. So that was crazy by itself. And I think God, what God has done over the years for me, brother, is he sent me to various churches. Now, if you want to consider me church hopper, that's fine, but I was in the Army at that point. And
right.
all the stuff that we're covering tonight, I probably tasted a little bit of it, you know.
Right.
And that's why we are, you know, sitting here tonight, because, you know, we've all experienced something peculiar in the church world, even if you're at the same church for 20 years. But, yeah, bro, let's talk about Mr. Eddie Long for a second, and let's cover a little bit on him. And matter of fact, let's not do that. Let's talk about Eddie Long plus some of these guys coming out of the closet, and just touch on what's going on. Why these preachers, and I know we're all sinners and we all fall short, glory to God, but why are these preachers so out cold? I mean, it's like they're kind of vicious with it. And it's sort of like these guys are sort of what you call arrogant. I was listening
right.
to one of the pastors that's gay. He came out of the closet, and he was explaining to his church congregation, he was telling his congregation, it was almost as if he was running, you know, somebody else, he was endorsing somebody else for politics. I mean, it was
uh-huh.
as if he had, it was like as if he didn't have a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come out of the closet and he's saying, well, I'm, you know, I was like this and I wanted to tell you. And even his wife, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, even his wife, ex-wife, came on there and as if she's, you know, I'm like, what planet are you guys from?
I know exactly. Exactly. You know, and when, you know, one of the things about the website is, you know, being connected to that website, we sort of find out things as they're happening, you know. And that was the part of it. I never knew, you know, the site would become that big, you know. And, you know, I'm talking about pimppreacher.com. I had no idea that the site would become so big that we would find out something while it's happening in the service, okay? And here's
wow.
what I'm talking about. When that story broke, I received an email,
wow.
right, from a buddy of mine at the site saying, hey, this is coming down the line. Apparently, Pastor Sweeley, right,
yeah.
has
yeah.
just called his congregation together and announced that he's gay. I said, dude, how do you know that? He said, they sent me an iPhone video from the service. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, man, they actually sent us the video from an iPhone, and it later came out from the news service, right? We were trying to confirm it, right, and in the process of trying to confirm it, the new actual news story broke first on that ABC affiliate, but we actually knew about it ahead of them. And I only mention that to say, you know, that I had the opportunity to listen to this guy try to justify it, okay?
Yeah.
And the way he presented it, it was really what I had the biggest problem with.
Yeah.
Because those people, they wanted a pastor who was a man of God, preached the scripture. They didn't sign up for the gay part.
Yeah.
Right?
They
didn't sign up for that. Now, if you're Colton Pearson and you're out and you're the bishop of the gay community, those people sitting in those pews subscribe to that.
Yeah.
They in on it. They're okay with it, all right? But in this congregation, these people were being misled. These people were being lied to. And
yeah.
his wife, you know, and I came out with this, man. I didn't bite my tongue on this thing. You know, you can go to the site and on there's a radio show dedicated to it. I came out on it and I said, she is just as wrong as he is. The
yeah.
wife is just as guilty as he is. Sure, he came out after 25 years.
Uh-huh.
25 years of being a pastor, you finally decide to come out. But you said, Mr. Gay Preacher, that my wife knew from the beginning. My wife
wow.
knew from the beginning.
So you mean to tell me both of you guys were running a fraud this entire time? And so I'm sitting there and I'm asking myself, okay, so why are you coming out now? Why didn't you just keep running this game on everybody? Why didn't you just keep perpetrating a fraud, as we say, in the night ward of New Orleans? Why are you all of a sudden want to come out now? And, you know, and the reason was, you know, he went through a divorce, and, you know, from the divorce, the wife felt that he should come out. I said, oh, she all of a sudden got a conscience? She all of a sudden got 2 teaspoons of holiness that would make her say, you know, now is the good time for you to come out. No, 25 years ago. 25 years ago. And what makes you so comfortable that you can sit there after deceiving these people? And you said it right. It's the arrogance. You're so comfortable sitting there telling these people, you know, I'm this way, and it's okay. There's a lot of people that are this way, and, you know, don't think you understand because you don't understand. And I'm watching this dude go through the justification of it.
Yeah.
That's when I really begin to – I saw the evil in it at that point. I said, this is evil, man. You can't justify wrong. Wrong is wrong in the reverse, upside down, horizontal, and vertically. It's still wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's what's happening, man. And I don't, you know, what is going on with the Atlanta area?
Yeah.
You know, as a whole. Okay. What's going on in that area? I think they have a regional issue that really needs to be addressed. Yeah, I know this thing happens all over the place, but within a 30-day period, here are 2 preachers. That are caught up into something that has something to do with homosexuality. You know?
I wonder if, like, the devil capital. I'm just joking. I don't know. There's a lot of undercover brothers over there. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's they have a regional issue there, man. I just think they need to deal with it.
Yeah. But what?
You know, the gay thing will always be a firecracker within our churches, man. It just... If there are people who think that the body of Christ is going to accept it, I'm sorry, it's just not going to be accepted. You know, so, you know, pastors, you know, Sweeley, I know you still are a pastor, because I want to say this guy still has a church. You know, yeah, you may have some that still decide to follow you, but you lied from the beginning. You stood up in the pulpit from the beginning, and you lied, and you were baptizing people, you were doing all these things in the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I say, there is no perfect example of there are people who will do things in my name. There are those who will come along and in my name and begin to say this, and in my name begin to do these things, but, you know, it's very far from the doctrine of Christ. And this is just another example of it. I think it's a perfect example of it.
Yeah, like Galatians talks about another gospel. I don't even, I guess when I'm starting a new subject, but these guys must be reading a different Bible in order to justify being gay. There's a guy that owns, and I'm not going to mention his name, you know who he is, and I'm pretty sure everybody else does, but he owns one of the biggest Christian television network.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and say it, Crouch.
Yeah. It's public information, bro. You can say it.
Yeah. a lot of these guys are, you know, gay. I mean, how do you justify that? I mean, he's not justified because he's still in the dark. I mean, he's still in the closet.
Well, he's not necessarily in the closet. He's not necessarily in, because anytime you settle a lawsuit with a man, I think you're technically in the closet at that point.
That's true. That's true.
You follow what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
It happened, you know, you settle this lawsuit at a point in time where it didn't go pop to, you know, to the extent that it damaged you. But yeah, people were aware of it. People knew. A lot of people knew. People in his circle knew. His wife knew. You know,
yeah.
his lawyer knew.
Poor lady going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Trinity Broadcasting Network, man, it had the opportunity to really be something really powerful for the kingdom of God. It really had that opportunity.
Money,
but now,
money.
If you look at everybody who has preached on that network is now going through one of the rough seasons of their life.
Uh-huh.
Look at the ministers. Jamal Bryant, Bishop Elton, DJ, you know, Robert Pitts. You know, I could go down the list, man. Juanita Bynum. Anybody who has been on that network right now, research it for yourself. I'm not making this stuff up.
Where is CDJ?
All of them are going through something.
Where is CDJ?
You know, Bishop Jakes has managed to avoid a lot of the controversy, you know.
Yeah.
But right when you think he's made it to the clear, you know, he runs into an area that a lot of us run into, where now your family going crazy, and you know those things you can't always control. But you know, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I think that they have taken advantage of a lot of Christians for so long.
Oh yeah,
for such a long time, man. And I'm just praying that they turn it around and they really begin to do something that's to the glory of God. Because right now it's to the glory of Paul Crouch.
Yeah,
it's not to the glory of God. You know, because why do you have to have a begathon every 3 months? Every 3 months.
And then they got a store, and I mean, oh yeah, and also they were advertising an annuity. Me and my wife just looked at each other, and we just couldn't believe it. They were actually talking about an investment.
You know, and that's what I'm tired of, brother. You know, I'm tired of people using the name of Jesus to get rich. I'm tired of people preaching Jesus to get a Bentley. I'm tired of people preaching Jesus to get a jet, you know. I'm tired of that, you know. And so when you listen to me, you hear a lot of the frustration. You hear the frustration of sitting in a church service and listening at a preacher talking about, all I need is just 15 people to line up in a line, and I believe there's 15 people that can give $100 and God going to do something. You know, I'm tired of that, man. Why are we still falling for that?
Yeah.
You know, this the hustling, the promising people that if they give $200, $300, if they can get 50 people with $30, you know, God is going to give them a 30-day blessing. Stop it.
Yeah, we need to return back to the word of God, man.
God is not broke, man. God does not need your money. If you really want to do something for God, take the money that you were going to give to your rich pastor and go find an elderly woman, a man, and pay a light bill with it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Randomly. Find somebody, find an elderly brother or sister, walk up to them with an envelope and your phone number and say, in the name of Jesus, take this and go pay your light bill with it. If you ever need anything, my number is in the envelope. God bless you.
If you
really want to do something Christ-like.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I already made my Sunday schedule, but will you mind coming back on next Thursday?
Man, whenever you need me, brother, whenever you need me, man, we got a great show tomorrow, man. I don't even know how I'm gonna pull it off, but the show is called How to Fire a No Good Pastor.
Oh, man, yeah. I saw the advertisement for that.
I said it. You know why I said it? Because there's a church right now who contacted us who are trying, they're trying to get rid of this guy. He don't want to leave.
Wow.
Right, so here's what's happening. Here's what's happening, okay? The church, everybody will go to church. I need you to visualize this. Everybody gets dressed in the morning, okay, and they all head to church. They get to church at 9 o'clock. They go through praise and worship. They go through their altar prayers. They go through the three selections from the choir, right? But right when the preacher come out to preach, the whole church leave. it's a real
that
church, man.
Yeah, that will work.
what do you tell them?
Huh?
What do you tell them? What advice do you give to that group?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're upset. They're angry. Okay, they're upset and angry. They were supposed to have a building fund in place.
Yeah.
The money is not there. Pastor has gotten a young lady in the church is 7 months pregnant with his baby.
Wow.
This guy refuses to step down. This guy refuses to leave.
Yeah.
And I think at some point, brother, you know, if your life as a pastor, as a preacher, if there's any preachers or pastors listening to me right now, if your life at this point is in such disarray, and you know, even if the scandal hasn't broken yet, and even if your wife hasn't found out about it yet, you know you're out of line, sit down. Sit yourself down. Take this time, find a quiet place, seek God, discipline, build up discipleship again, but sit down. And nobody else may not ever tell you this, but guess what? I don't go to your church, so you can't kick me out of your church. Sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen, bro.
Anytime you need me, brother, you let me know. You know what you're getting when you get me, bro. You already know.
anytime you need me, brother,
I'll be more than happy to come on.
Okay, what time your show come on tomorrow?
Hey, tomorrow, 11 o'clock New Orleans time. That's Central Standard Time. You can listen to the show either on Blog Talk Radio or on our site. PimpPreacher.com. That's www.PimpPreacher.com.
All right, bro. All right, thank you so much for being on, man.
Hey, not a problem. It was an honor, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless, man.
God bless you, brother.
Okay. Thank y'all for listening in. The chat room was open somewhat, but I just kept forgetting to remind everybody the chat room was open. But God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful night.